إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، tonight then inshaAllah ta'ala, we begin with the first of a few chapters from the famous book of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, Kitab al-Tawheed. And this particular book, the focus of it is regarding one of those categories of Tawheed that we were speaking about yesterday. We mentioned about Tawheed being from the Masdar of Wahhada Yuwahhidu, to make something single and unique, with An-Nafi wal-Ithbat, negation and affirmation. And that this occurs in three aspects, in Al-Rububiyyah and Al-Uluhiyyah and Al-Asma' wa-Sifat. Kitab al-Tawheed is a book that focuses on which one of those three categories of Tawheed? Which category of Tawheed does Kitab al-Tawheed focus upon? It is the category of Al-Uluhiyyah, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our acts of worship, with our deeds, with our obedience. As Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, ibadah, it is ismun jami'un li kulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yardah min al-aqwal wal-af'al al-zahira wal-batina. That it is a comprehensive term for all of that which Allah loves and is pleased with, from statements and actions, whether they are hidden or apparent. So Kitab al-Tawheed, it focuses on this topic of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. In fact, the Shaykh al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى mentioned, وكان الشيخ رحمه الله يذكر في هذا الكتاب حقيقة التوحيد وما يناقضه أو ينقصه من العقائد والأقوال والأفعال الباطلة ومن ذلك التطير. He says that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentions in this book, Kitab al-Tawheed, the reality of Tawheed and that which opposes it and contradicts it from the various types of false aqidah and false statements and false actions that the people may be upon. So this particular book, all of its chapters one by one, they highlight different aspects of Tawheed. And they explain those aspects of Tawheed. And they highlight that which opposes that Tawheed from the affairs of Shirk And that is the absolutely crucial point or crucial principle of the religion every believer must understand. What is Tawheed and what is Shirk that opposes it? Just like a Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his other books, for example, in Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba', he mentioned, إِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ الشِّرْكَ إِذَا خَالَطَ الْعِبَادَةِ أَفْسَدَهَا وَأَحْبَطَ الْعَمَلِ وَصَارَ صَاحِبُهُ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ فِي النَّارِ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ أَهَمَّ مَا عَلَيْكَ معرفة ذلك لعل الله أن يخلصك من هذه الشبكة وهي شرك بالله عز وجل. He said, if you know that if shirk mixes in with your tawheed, then it invalidates it, corrupts it, and renders it as void, and the actions are destroyed, your worship and your obedience, that shirk will destroy them, render them as null and void. And the person who commits that shirk will be from the people of the fire forever. The one who dies upon that shirk without repentance. And so if a person understands that, then certainly you know that the most important thing you need to understand is this Tawheed and what opposes it from shirk. For indeed Allah mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah does not forgive that you commit shirk with Him, but He forgives all else to whom He wills. Shirk is a sin that a person who commits it, then it will not be forgiven for him unless he repents. But as for the one who dies upon shirk, then that person is in threat of punishment, and if it is major shirk, then by agreement, he is in the hellfire forever. Here then, over the next few days, we're going to have a look at a few of these aspects of Tawheed and the types of shirk that a person may fall into opposing that Tawheed. The first topic tonight is regarding the omens and the superstitions and the bad luck. Is this something that has a basis to it in Islam? Bad luck and omens and superstitions, is this something which has a basis in al-Islam or not? In the olden days, this was referred to and known as, up until our time, as at-tatayyur. And the root of that word, it comes from a practice of the people in the times of Jahiliyyah. In those days, they used to have a particular type of superstition and bad omen and feelings of bad luck. There was one particular type, especially over and above others. And that was their superstitions that were linked to birds. Superstitions and omens and bad luck that was linked to birds. The manner in which the birds fly, the direction in which the birds fly, all of these various things linked to birds and their activities, they used to consider good luck, bad luck was associated to it. Hence the word at-tatayyur in Arabic came from that origin. Superstition, omens, bad luck, from the root of the birds that they used to look at for their superstitions. As Shaykh Al-Fawzan, he mentions, التطير مصدره أو مصدر تطير تطيرا وطيرة وهو التشاؤم بالأشياء واعتقاد أنه يصيب الإنسان منها شيء من الشر. That the origin of these superstitions in the Arabic language of the word at-tatayyur, it means that a person perceives, that he thinks there is bad luck associated to certain things. He has a pessimistic outlook on certain things. Nowadays, they have a whole selection of things that come under that category. The black cat walking under a ladder, smashing a mirror, and many others. The Friday of the 13th, Friday the 13th as a date, and we'll come across that. Friday the 13th, they have now as their superstition and omen and bad luck. That is something which existed in the times of Jahiliyyah. Not Friday the 13th specifically, but other dates just like that. So these types of superstitions have existed amongst the people for centuries and centuries, before they found out about the 13th of Friday and made that a superstition. Or the black cat, or the ladder, or the window, or the mirror being smashed. Well before that, in the times of the Arabs, in Jahiliyyah, they used to have many of these superstitions upon those roots. So as Shaykh Al-Fawzan goes on to say, that they used to believe, have an aqidah, that if something happens, it indicates bad luck. If something happens in a particular way, then that must mean bad luck is gonna come. So they had these superstitions. وَأَصْلُهُ مَأْخُوذٌ مِنَ الطَّيْرِ. In the origin of these superstitions, for them it was the birds. لِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَتَشَاءَمُونَ بِالطُّيُورِ وَفِي طَيَرَانِهَا. They used to take bad luck, or consider and perceive bad luck and superstition with regards to the birds and how they fly. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهَا تَطِيرُ عَلَى جِهَةٍ مَخْصُوصَةٍ عِنْدَهُمْ تَشَاءَمُوا بِهَا. When they used to see the birds flying off in a particular direction, they used to say that is bad luck. And you come across soon some of the narrations that they used to go to a tree, and they would throw a pebble into the tree where the birds were perched. They would throw a pebble into the tree, and of course the birds fly off when that stone hits the tree. But which way do that flock of birds fly off? To the right, to the left, which way? Whatever way they flew off, if it was in a particular way, they would say that is good luck. But if they threw the stone and the birds flew off in another particular direction, they would say that indicates bad luck. They would literally go in the morning to a tree and throw a stone. If, for example, the birds flew off to the right, when they get scared and fly off because of the stone, they would say that is a sign of good luck. Go out to the market, open your shop today, do your business. But if they threw the stone and the birds flew off to the left, they would say that is a sign of evil. That is a sign of bad luck. And they have their superstition and they would say, do not go out today. Do not go out to your business and to your market and your affairs today. Remain in your home. That is a sign of bad luck to come to you today. That is what they used to do and that is what they used to believe in. وَرَجَعُوا عَمَّا عَزَمُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَسْفَارِ. Even if they had on that day a journey planned, maybe one of them had a journey planned for that day, he was supposed to go somewhere. In the morning they throw the stone and the birds fly off in the direction which is the wrong direction for them. And so they consider it to be bad luck and their superstition is there. They would cancel their trip for the day. They would cancel their journey out for the day. They would say, do not travel today. Look at the way the birds they flew. Bad luck if you go today. Something bad will happen to you if you go today. So they would cancel their trips and their journeys based upon this. Pure superstition they used to have. Pure evil in their hearts and their beliefs. ثُمَّ عَمَّ هَذَا وَصَارُوا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَيَتَطَيَّرُونَ بِالْبِقَاعِ وَيَتَطَيَّرُونَ بِالْآدَمِيِّينَ وَيَتَطَيَّرُونَ بِالْبَهَائِمِ وَيَتَطَيَّرُونَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Then it progressed from that. That it wasn't just about the birds, it wasn't just the birds that was their superstition. It then progressed from there. And other things started to get involved in their superstitions. Certain locations became locations of superstition. So they would say, do not go to a certain place. Do not go to Canaan, whatever you call it, Canaan and these areas, do not go on a Monday there. Superstition, on a Monday you enter that area, on a Monday, you will not come out alive. Or you enter that area on a Monday and you will come out and you get to your home, it will be destroyed. We'll maybe come to the narration later on where they used to have the superstition about the owls. What was the superstition they used to have about the owls? They used to believe that if an owl comes and sits on your house, perches on your roof, then this is a superstition, a sign. They used to say the owl has come either to seek revenge for the death of someone. And so you must go do something, otherwise there is bad luck to come from this owl upon you. All types of things. You think now the black cat and walking under a ladder or a mirror being smashed is bad. They used to have all types of things. And even dates, like we said, now you call it Friday the 13th. In those days they used to have certain months. Like the month of Safar, for example, they would say, do not get married in this month. It is bad luck. Your marriage will not be successful. Do not go out on a journey. If you need to travel in this month, it will be unsuccessful. Something bad will happen to you. So certain time periods they used to view as suspicious and they used to consider bad luck will come from it. So you can see it began from the birds with them. But then it progressed one thing to another until they had a whole selection of different things that they viewed as superstitious, that they viewed as bad luck coming from it. Even to the extent that they used to view people as bad luck. Such and such an individual, stay away from him, he's bad luck if he gets near you. And that is something which is proven even regarding the beliefs of the nation of Pharaoh. The people of Pharaoh used to have superstitions in Musa alayhi salam. They used to say, Musa alayhi salam, bad luck. He is the bringer of bad luck, Musa alayhi salam. They used to have superstitions regarding him. In the Quran it mentions it. Allah says about them, فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةِ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ. Whenever something good used to happen to them, they would say, this is because we deserve it. We deserve this good which has come to us. We are deserving of it, and it is befitting for it to have come to us. So they used to attribute those blessings to themselves in that regard, believing that they had earned these blessings for themselves and they were deserving of them. As Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned, that when sustenance came to them, when the rain used to come down, then they used to believe that all of this is because they themselves deserved it. قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ أَيْ إِسْتَحْقَقْنَاهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ بِأَفْعَالِنَا. That we have a right to this. We deserve this from Allah because of our actions. So they used to think that they are deserving of it. وَلَا يَعْتَرِفُونَ أَنَّهُ فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And they never used to believe and acknowledge that it is virtue from Allah upon them. Rather, they associated it to themselves. So that was when goodness came to them. But when anything bad used to happen to them, talking about the people of Pharaoh who were against Musa alayhi salam still, when anything bad used to happen to them, وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةً, when something bad used to happen to them, then, like drought for example, illness for example, the drying up of the wells of water for example, the fruits drying up and dying for example, then they would say all of these bad things are as a consequence of the bad luck from Musa alayhi salam. فَإِنَّهُمْ يَنْسِبُونَهُ إِلَى مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَمَنْ مَعَهُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَيَقُولُونَ هَذَا الَّذِي أَصَابَنَا بِسَبَبِهِمْ فَيَتَطَيَّرُونَ بِخَيْرِ النَّاسِ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So they used to say that this drought or the death of our fruits and vegetables and livestock and agriculture and the droughts, all of that is because of the evil of Musa alayhi salam. Their suspicion and their belief that it was bad luck coming from Musa alayhi salam. So they held suspicions of bad luck in the best of the people. Musa alayhi salam, from the best of the people. And we know that the best of the people absolutely is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final messenger. And then after him, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is the best, not in this ummah, everyone, people, from all of the people. Which one? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all of mankind. He was Kalimullah. Allah spoke to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard Allah speak to him. And he was also Khalilullah. Khulla, the highest level of love, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of mankind. Who is it after him, number two? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Look very suspiciously like you Google search that one right there. No. Okay. Absolutely. You're innocent in that case. And you have the credit for the correct answer. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the second of all of the prophets and messengers, because he had one of the two characteristics only, which is Khalilullah, the most beloved of Allah also. Then after him, number three, Musa alayhi salam, because he also had one of the characteristics only, which was not the beloved, that was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ had two characteristics. Allah spoke to him directly and he was the most beloved. Number two, Ibrahim alayhi salam only had one, most beloved. Number three, Musa alayhi salam only had one. Allah spoke to him directly also. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam with a reality of speech, not as the people of innovation wish to perform tahrif, distort and alter the names and attributes of Allah. And so they begin to say that it is not وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. They say it is وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Changing اللَّهُ to Allah. And by doing that, you change the meaning of the ayah and you neglect or you negate and reject the attribute of Allah of speech. So they distort the names and attributes of Allah. And that is essentially because they are from the offshoots of either the Mu'attila or the Mushabbiha, two extremes. They either compare Allah to creation, and as a consequence, they say that is not allowed, you cannot compare Allah to creation, which is true. So what do they do to get out of that, to make tanzeer, as they believe? They reject the names and attributes of Allah. And the others are the Mushabbiha. They affirm them to the level that they resemble Allah to creation. But nevertheless, here we were saying that Musa alayhi salam, one of the best of mankind, and yet those disbelievers from the people of Pharaoh were claiming superstition and bad luck from Musa alayhi salam. And that is not something strange from the people of disbelief. In their positions against the prophets and messengers, then Al-Shaykh Al-Fawzan goes on to explain, Al-Haq, what is true and reality, Anna Musa wa man ma'ahu min al-mu'mineen hum sababul khayrat. That Musa alayhi salam and those who were with him were not the source of evil and bad luck as those people had superstition of. Musa alayhi salam and those with him were a source of goodness. They were a source of goodness, of barakah, of khair, not a source of evil and superstition as those people they believed. So the purpose of that was to highlight that these superstitions, they began from those birds. They used to throw a stone into the tree, and if the birds flew to one direction, they would say that is good luck. But if they flew to the other direction, they would say that is bad luck. And then from there, it progressed until they began to have superstition in certain times and dates, and in certain places and locations, and even in certain people, as they had in Musa alayhi salam even. So this issue of suspicions and omens and bad luck, it is something which has prevailed from times of old. And it is something which has spread from times of old. People having these beliefs of superstitions. We now come to a narration which will highlight this in some more detail. Hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا عدوى ولا طير ولا هام ولا صفر أخرجاه. حديث which is in البخاري and in Muslim, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no adwa. Adwa is the transfer of disease from one person to another, or from one animal to another, or from one location to another. The spread of disease from a person to another, or from an animal to another, or from a location to another. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no adwa. There is no transgression or spread or transfer of diseases. What does it mean though? Because we know of course that diseases do spread. So what is the meaning of this narration and what is the point in relation to superstitions and tawheed? That is, as Shaykh Al-Fawzan explains here, المرض يتعدى من محل إلى محل. That illness, it transfers and spreads from one location to another. ويتعدى من المريض إلى الصحيح أو السالم. And it transfers and spreads from somebody ill to somebody who is healthy and good. وَيَتَعَدَّى مِنَ الْجَرْبَاءِ إِلَى الصَّحِيحَةِ وَهَذَا شَيْءٌ مَوْجُودٌ. وَالرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَا يَنْفِي هَذَا. The Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ is not negating or rejecting the fact that illnesses spread and that diseases spread. That is not what is being negated in this narration when it says la adwa, there is no there is no movement or change or transfer of illnesses and diseases. That is not the meaning of it, because we know that happens. So what is the meaning of it then? إِنَّمَا يَنْفِي الْعَدْوَى الَّتِي كَانَ يَعْتَقِدُهَا أَهْلُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مِنْ أَنَّ الْمَرَضَ يَتَعَدَّى بِنَفْسِهِ بِدُونِ تَقْدِيرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. They used to believe in Jahiliyyah that illnesses transfer from one to another by themselves without the preordainment and the decree of Allah upon that. They used to believe that these illnesses transcend from one to another, transfer from one to another by themselves, independently themselves, without the decree of Allah upon it. So they thought that the person who is healthy would get ill and the illness would transfer to him because of that closeness between them, and that the illness can transfer itself. But that is not the case. We know that is not the case. That is because a person can be ill, and it may be a type of illness or disease that is typically considered contagious. Yet a group of healthy people go and visit that sick individual and sit with him and spend time with him. At the end, perhaps from that group of the healthy people, one of them becomes ill also, but the other three do not. That is an example that illnesses and diseases, they do not simply transfer in of themselves purely because you are close to that person and it is contagious. Rather, it is the decree of Allah whether that disease will spread to you or not. A person may have a cold and he is sneezing away all day, and there are a group of people around him working with him all day, and maybe none of them catches the cold, even though their work colleague was sneezing away all day. Decree of Allah, whether they catch it and it goes to them or not. But in olden times, the people of Jahiliya, they used to believe that it is the illness itself that can transfer. So we know that is an aqeedah which is false. The aqeedah of Tawheed would dictate that you understand it is by the permission of Allah whether a disease will spread or not, whether you will catch it or not. And you have your Tawheed in Allah, that it is Allah who decrees the affairs. You do not have this belief of Jahiliyyah that illnesses spread by themselves and diseases spread by themselves. They do not. It is by the decree of Allah if they do or not. يعني على ما كان يعتقده أهل الجاهلية أما أن العدوى تحصل بإذن الله فهذا أمر واقع. So diseases spreading by themselves is something that does not occur. But diseases spreading can occur if that occurs only by the permission of Allah. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Whatever Allah wills occurs, and whatever He does not will does not occur. That does not mean that a person then says that I will go and mix with the people who have contagious illnesses in respect to how they medically classify them now. He says, I will go and purposely mix with the people who have the plague. I will purposely go and enter the land where that disease is spreading. You do not say that under the justification that it will not spread to me unless Allah decrees for that to occur. That is true. But we have been commanded to take the means to protect ourselves. Allah has given us means to protect ourselves and guard ourselves and preserve ourselves. So we take those means of self-preservation and we do not enter into the land where the plague is spread, for example. وَلِهَذَا نَهَى صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ مُخَالَطَةِ الْمَجْذُومِ وَنَهَى صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ الْقُدُومِ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ الْمَوْبُوءَةِ. He prohibited us, صلى الله عليه وسلم, from going into the land where the plague is spreading. وَنَهَى مَنْ كَانَ فِي أَرْضٍ فِيهَا وَبَاءٌ أَنْ يَخْرُجَ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ كَانَ خَارِجَهَا لَا يَدْخُلُ فِيهَا. And in those areas where types of plague are spreading, then we've been prohibited from entering into those areas. We know even if you enter, you will only catch it by the permission of Allah. But still you take the means Allah has given you to preserve yourself. So you do not enter the land where the plague is spreading. And similarly, if you are in that land already, then you do not exit from it. If the plague is spreading in that land, then you do not exit from it and become a means of its spread. Because Allah decrees the affairs, but decrees them via al-asbab, via the means. So a person puts his trust in Allah. And if you have absolute trust in Allah, then you know the disease will not come to you just like that. If Allah decrees it is to come to you, then it is decreed it is to come to you. If something is written for you, whatever is written for you, then it will never miss you. لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكْ. If something is decreed for you, then it's never gonna miss you. It's never gonna miss you. لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. As it mentions in the narration, whatever is there for you, then it will not ever miss you. But a person takes the means of protection. So this is the first point the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, that the people used to have the beliefs of the spread of disease in of itself. And that is not something real. Rather, disease will spread by the permission of Allah if it spreads. So upon a person in those circumstances is to have absolute trust in Allah and take the means of precaution and self-preservation. Then the Prophet ﷺ goes on to say, وَلَا هَامَّ الْهَامَ طَائِرٌ يُسَمَّ الْبُومَ. The Prophet ﷺ then went on to mention a second point, that there is no such thing as al-hamma. Al-hamma is a bird which is known as the owl. The bird known as the owl. وَكَانَ الْعَرَبْ يَتَشَاءَمُونَ بِهِ إِذَا وَقَعَ عَلَى بَيْتِ أَحَدِهِمْ. And the Arabs used to have a superstition about these owls if they landed on your house. If the owl landed on your house, then they had a superstition regarding that. قال نعى إلي نفسي أو أحدا من أهلي كانوا يتشاءمون بها ويقولون البوم لا يقع إلا على الخراب فهذا من عقيدة الجاهلية. So they used to say the owl does not land except upon destruction. It has landed upon your home. That indicates destruction is going to come upon you. Bad luck is going to come upon you. This was the suspicions they used to have. Some of them even used to believe, وَبَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْجَاهِلِيَّ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ إِذَا قُتِلَ الْقَتِيلُ وَلَمْ يُؤْخَذْ لَهُ بِالثَّارِ فَإِنَّهُ يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ طَائِرٌ يُسَمَّى الْهَامَّ وَيُصَوِّتْ أَسْقُونِي أَسْقُونِي يعني خُذُوا بِالثَّارِ وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ الشَّاعِرُ. نعم. So they used to believe that if the owl came and landed on your home, then one of the reasons behind that was if somebody had been murdered from your family, the owl would land on your home and it would say, seek revenge, seek revenge. Quench my thirst for revenge for that deceased one. And so they used to say, you have to go and take revenge, and you have to go and kill, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And if you don't, then that owl signifies bad luck will come to you. And so that is an aqidah of jahiliyyah that they used to have. Also, wala safar. The third thing mentioned, wala safar. The meaning of this, as some of the scholars have mentioned, is the month of Safar. لأنهم كانوا في الجاهلية يتشاءمون بهذا الشهر فلا يتزوجون فيه ولا يسافرون ولا يتاجرون ويعتقدون أنه شهر مشؤوم. إن منثف السفر إن جاهلية they used to believe it was the bad luck month. Very similar to how people talk about Friday the 13th as bad luck day. So they would say that a person is not to get married in this month of Safar. And that a person is not to travel during this month. And a person is not to go and do any business or trade in this month. Because they believed it was a month of bad luck. That is one explanation. That is one explanation of this Safar. Another explanation is that it was a disease of the intestines, a disease around the stomach area. And very similar to Adwa, they believed that this disease, it spreads in of itself. So here we see examples of various things that the people used to hold in superstition, and yet in reality they are not upon any basis bringing bad luck of any type. There is another variation of this narration that adds on two more points. One of them is wala now, and that is superstitions with regards to the stars, horoscopes and other types. Those we're going to mention in detail in one of the upcoming lectures. The next point also is wala ghul. Ghul, what you may call in English the ghouls. And this is something of superstition that they used to believe in too. Al-ghul ahad al-ghaylan. Wal-ghaylan min a'mal shayateen tatashakkalu amam an-nas fi al-falawat. Khususan idha istawhasha al-insan tatashakkalu amamahu ashya' tadhilluhu 'an al-tariq. إما بأن يرى أمامه نارا تتنقل أو أصواتا يسمعها أو غير ذلك. ولهذا يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا تغولت الغيلان فبادروا بالأذان. بمعنى أنه إذا تغول الغول أمامك فبادر إلى ذكر الله، فإن ذكر الله يطرد الشيطان، فإذا ذكرت الله أو تلوت القرآن ذهب عنك هذا العمل الشيطاني. Here the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, and there is no ghouls. That is, that the shayateen used to come looking like ghosts. Particularly in the olden times when they were traveling out in the desert. Alone and everything deserted. Then the shayateen would come to them in the distance in the appearance of a ghost. And so they would scare them in that way. Or a person begins to have certain types of hallucinations. He's walking and he sees a fire over there and over there and over there, and there is no fire in reality. He begins to hallucinate other things that cause him fear. So these spirits or ghosts or ghouls that the people used to have suspicions about, and they used to believe it brings you bad luck, then that is not the case. It is simply the shayateen taking those appearances of ghosts or ghouls, making themselves apparent to you in those appearances in order to cause fear, to cause you fear. And so if that happens, and you happen to be out, deserted, and you see these ghouls and ghosts, then the Prophet ﷺ said, be quick to make the adhan. Make the adhan, for indeed the adhan is something those shayateen cannot burden. They cannot burden the adhan and the call to tawheed. These are examples of certain types of superstitions they used to believe in, certain types of bad luck they used to think would occur to them. The Prophet ﷺ said, in contrast to all of that, لا عدوى ولا طيرة ويعجبني الفأل. قالوا وما الفأل؟ قال الكلمة الطيبة. That the Prophet ﷺ told them, there is no transfer of disease in of itself. There are no suspicions and bad omens and bad luck. But rather, what I love is to have optimism in things. To have optimism in your affairs. And to remove the ideas of negativity and pessimism. The ideas of shayateen and jinn approaching you in their appearances. Hallucinations of them, of ghosts, of ghouls, believing illnesses and diseases spread of themselves, believing in different superstitions like the owl, or other than that, from the superstitions the people had then and the people have now, from Friday the 13th, and from walking under the ladder, and from the black cat, and from smashing a mirror. All of these things, and even the things where they say it brings you good luck. So for example, they have the horseshoe. The horseshoe, they say, brings you good luck, put that on your door. These affairs are not from Al-Islam, this good luck and this bad luck. But the Prophet ﷺ, he used to love optimism, to have trust in Allah that things will be good, and not to have pessimism and belief that it's going to be bad luck, or there's going to be some superstition of it being bad luck. To remove all of that from your thoughts. So being optimistic about things, being optimistic about things is from the prophetic way. The Prophet ﷺ was always optimistic about things. And he did not take the approach of pessimism and the approach of superstition, believing that evil is going to overcome them. In these final narrations here in the chapter, it mentions that Uqba ibn Amir said, ذكرت الطيرة عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال, that these superstitions and omens with the birds like they used to do in those days, it was mentioned to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to them, أحسنها الفأل. That what is better than these suspicions and bad luck and omens you people are talking about, what is better than all of that is to have the optimism, the trust and dependence in Allah. your optimism and your trust and dependence in Allah, and not to have the superstition and the bad luck and the pessimism. And then he said, فَإِذَا رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ مَا يَكْرَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ. If any of you see something that you dislike, then you should say, اللهم لا يأتي بالحسنات إلا أنت. That, oh Allah, nobody brings the goodness in this world and in the hereafter except you. وَلَا يَدْفَعُ سَيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا أَنْتِ. And nobody removes the evil except you. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكْ. And there is no might and no power except through you. That is the dua a person makes when he sees some pessimism coming into him or superstition arising of bad luck. Any type of thought of that nature coming to him, then he makes this dua that, oh Allah, nobody brings the good except you, and nobody can remove the evil except you, and there is no might and no power except through you. Having superstitions, what is the ruling on them? We've talked about different types of superstitions. We've talked about in Jahiliyyah where it all began. In modern day times, we've mentioned the examples they have. But what is the actual ruling on somebody who believes in these superstitions and omens? There is a narration of Abu Mas'ud marfu'an, meaning to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at-tayra shirk, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, superstitions and omens, having those beliefs in those things, Friday the 13th, under the ladder, the broken mirror, the black cat, whatever, having beliefs in these things is shirk. At-tayra shirk, superstitions and omens are shirk. وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا. And then the narration carries on, and then he says at the end, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُذْهِبُهُ بِالتَّوَكُّلِ. That if anybody ever does get those feelings of weakness, feelings of suspicions and bad luck and superstition, then you remove that by putting your trust in Allah and making the dua that, oh Allah, nobody brings the good except you and nobody can remove the evil except you, and there is no might and no power except with you. Nobody else is able to bring you any bad luck or any type of evil. So all of these superstitions, all of these bad luck and good luck, all of this type of thing and the different days and different places they have, it is falsehood and it is a sign of the weakness of the tawheed of that individual. For indeed, if that person was strong in his tawheed, then he would be strong in his trust and dependence in Allah. He would not allow superstitions to cause fear in him. He would not allow these superstitions to cause fear in him, or that he follows them and falls into them and becomes afraid if that occurs to him. Rather, he recognizes they have no meaning, and whatever occurs, then it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. Whatever happens to you, then it was never gonna miss you. It was gonna happen, it's decreed. وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِبْكَ. And whatever does not occur for you, then وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِبْكَ. That whatever doesn't happen for you, then it was never gonna happen for you. It was never decreed for you. Just like in the narration, لَوْ اِجْتَمَعَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ ما نفعوك ولم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. That if all of the people got together to benefit you with something, they would not be able to do so unless it was something Allah had decreed for you. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If all of the people conspired together against you to do some evil to you, if all of the people got together to conspire and plan against you to do some evil to you, they would never be able to, and they would not be successful unless it was something decreed by Allah. So the purpose of this chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed, the chapter regarding superstitions and omens and bad luck, is to highlight that these affairs have existed amongst the people for centuries. From the times of Jahiliyyah, from the time when they used to throw a stone at the tree to see which way the birds they fly, from those moments, those superstitions, they grew in the people until it developed and developed and progressed. And you find now in our times, Friday the 13th, and you find the black cat, and you find the breaking of the mirror, and you find the walking under the ladder, are all signs of bad luck. And some of them even 7 years of bad luck at that. Not just a small amount of bad luck, 7 years amount of bad luck. That is what they tell you. So all of that is baseless. The true muwahid, the muwahid, the person of tawheed, has his trust in Allah, his dependence in Allah. Just like when Musa alayhi salam and the believers were fleeing from Fir'aun and they came to the Red Sea, in front of them now is this body of water that they cannot cross. Behind them is Pharaoh and his army. They turn around and they can see them coming. So the believers with Musa alayhi salam, they said, Inna lamudrakun. That's it, we've been caught. In front of us the sea we cannot cross. Turn around and behind us Pharaoh and his army right there, we cannot go. We are trapped and we are caught. But the trust and the dependence of Musa alayhi salam upon Allah, he tells them, fear not, put your trust in Allah. Allah is with us. And indeed Allah gives them that victory in the method of crossing, that he strikes his staff and 12 pathways open up, and the qabail and the tribes, all of them upon one pathway cross over, and the water is stood like mountains on either side, as the tafsir mentions. Until when they cross and Pharaoh enters, the mountains of water collapse upon him. And then when he drowns, his body does not sink, but rather it floats on the water in order that Banu Israel can see with their own eyes that indeed Pharaoh is dead. You see the same tawakkul from Ibrahim alayhi salam. When they built a fire after he destroyed all of the idols and they knew they had nothing to refute him with, they said, take revenge in that case. Build a fire and throw Ibrahim into the fire. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned the fire that they made was so big, so powerful, so much heat, they couldn't physically send a couple of guards with Ibrahim next to the fire and throw him in. Nobody could get anywhere near the vicinity of it. It was so huge and hot. They couldn't get close to it to throw him in. So they had to, from a distance, catapult him into the fire. None of the guards could get anywhere near to throw him in physically. Yet when they threw him in, the trust of Ibrahim upon Allah, and then that trust and dependence in Allah, again Allah gives him victory and makes the fire cold and safe upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. The same you see from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the trust and the dependence in Allah when they were fleeing from the mushrikeen and they entered the cave. And it is mentioned that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu said, had one of them just looked down into the entrance of the cave, they would have seen our feet. They were right there at the entrance of the cave. Had any of them looked down into the entrance of the cave, they would have seen our feet stood right there. As for that story of the spider making the web, that is weak. But at that moment it is mentioned, though, the point being that the Prophet ﷺ, the ayat in the Quran, they mention, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Do not have any grief, indeed Allah is with us. And the ayat, the other ayat that mention about Allah being the third of the two, they are two, Muhammad ﷺ and Abu Bakr, and Allah is with them. So all of these examples from the prophets and messengers, they highlight to you the trust and the dependence that they had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what is required of a believer. Not to be weak and feeble, not to be miskeen, taken in by superstitions, taken in by thoughts of bad luck, taken in by thoughts of omens, and they are fearful all of the time. Your fear is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No evil will come to you from the people and from these superstitions and from this bad luck or anything you think, except for what Allah decrees upon you. Otherwise, whatever they do, they come together, all of the people, they cannot harm you. So that is what the Shaykh wishes to highlight from this chapter regarding suspicions and omens, that it is not something proven or established whatsoever, and you do not have your doubts in that affair falling into superstitions or evils or bad luck ideas or negative thoughts. Rather, you go out and you do what you need to do. You do not stop yourself from doing something because of feelings of bad luck or suspicions or superstitions. All of this is from the people who are negligent and weak in their tawheed, and its source is from those people of jahiliyyah, those who were not upon tawheed in the first place. As for a muwahhid, then he is not taken in by superstitions of any sort. Rather, he is with the Prophet ﷺ when the Prophet ﷺ said, it is optimism that pleases me. Not to have superstitions and bad luck, but rather to have trust in Allah and dependence in Allah, and to be optimistic and go forth with what you are going to do. So that is the chapter that we wish to mention tonight. That is what we'll round off on tonight. That is only one chapter from the multiple chapters of Kitab al-Tawheed. This particular book, it is one of the greatest books in this topic. Al-Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say that the student of knowledge needs to focus on two books which will give you a comprehensive understanding of two key areas. Kitab al-Tawheed as one of them. Because Kitab al-Tawheed gives you the comprehensive understanding of al-Uluhiyya, and therefore also al-Rububiyya. Because al-Uluhiyya, it is inclusive of al-Rububiyya. What is the other book? Al-Wasitiyya, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya of Shaykh al-Islam, because that gives you a comprehensive or an overview of the Tawheed of Al-Asma'u wa-Sifat. A student of knowledge who becomes grounded and understands properly Kitab al-Tawheed and Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyya, then he has gained a good general grounding in understanding the affairs of Tawheed and the basics and the principles of Tawheed. This is a book that cannot be ignored. From the basic books, the scholars, they talk about Al-Qawa'id al-Arba', the four fundamental principles, Al-Usul al-Sitta, the six fundamental principles, Kashf al-Shubuhat, the removal of the doubts, Kitab al-Tawheed, Nawaqid al-Islam, the nullifiers of Islam, Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyya. This is how a person studies. Thalathatul Usul, of course, scholars always mention that as an example too. That is how the studying it builds for a person. Studying the religion does not come from randomly reading something here, reading something there, randomly reading a benefit on this website, on that website, randomly reading a tweet here, a tweet there. That is not knowledge. All you will ever get from that, as the scholars say, is general knowledge. You read your Twitter every day from the Salafi students and the Mashayikh, etc. You gain at the end of the day some benefits you didn't know before. Good, alhamdulillah. You go on to read a few translations, couple of paragraphs, benefit translated by this one or that one, from the students, from the Salafis, from the Marakis. You gained a few more benefits from those paragraph or two, an article or two. All of that is only general knowledge. It is not knowledge of the usul and the principles and the core of your religion. Those means, Twitter and this and that and all of these other social media means, it is only general knowledge. General knowledge of your religion. If you wish to gain the detailed knowledge, then it is not anything fancy. It is down to earth, beginning with the books one after the next. Understanding those principles of the religion one after the next. And this is one of those key books. Kitab al-Tawheed. So that is one chapter we've done tonight. Tomorrow and the day after, inshaAllah, also. And after that also, the next 3 days will cover approximately six chapters. Approximately six or seven chapters talking about magic, talking about sorcery, talking about fortune tellers and card readers and palm readers, horoscopes, all types of issues related to those aspects. Over the next 3 days yet, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll mention those chapters and the issues of Tawheed and Shirk linked to them. So that is what we'll conclude upon for tonight then. Unless there's any questions or anything anybody has to say upon that. That narration about accepting a woman, a house and a horse. Those types of narrations, and there are others similar to it, they do not indicate or they do not have any negation of what's mentioned here. Firstly, obviously there's the issue of authenticity anyway, but upon them being authentic, there are different narrations of that nature, upon them being authentic. The meaning does not go into contradiction with this, because the meaning does not indicate the source of superstition. It is like, let me give you an example to understand why it does not mean the source of the superstition or evil or bad luck. The example of the narration where the Prophet ﷺ said, لا رقيا إلا من عين أو حمى. رقيا does not exist. There is no رقيا, reading the Quran, etc., upon a person, except if they have evil eye or a fever. Meaning they've been stung by something. Not a fever in terms of humma, but in terms of being stung by something, a poisonous animal, you can do ruqya upon a person. The narration says ruqya only for those two things. Somebody who's got evil eye on them, you can do ruqya on them. Somebody who's been bitten by something poisonous, you can do ruqya on them. That's it. La ruqya illa min ayn aw huma. So now what does it mean? Does it mean ruqya is therefore haram unless it's a person who's got evil eye or bitten by something poisonous? Is that the meaning of it? It would appear to be. The narration says, la ruqya. But these types of narrations, then when you go to the roots of the meanings, la ruqya can have two overall understandings. La as a negation of the source, or as a negation of the generality. Negation of the source would mean, in absolution, it is haram to do ruqya except in those two things. But the meaning of the narration is not a negation of the source, it is general. Generally, therefore, it means that there is no ruqya as effective as the ruqya that is done upon somebody who has ayn, evil eye, or being bitten by something poisonous. The ruqya has its maximum impact in those scenarios of people. Otherwise, la ruqya, there is no other ruqya, meaning it's there, it works, but it's not as effective as in those circumstances. There are other examples. Upon the opinion that the Imam's Fatiha counts for you, then you have the narration, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There is no prayer for the one who does not recite the Fatiha in the prayer. If that means the source of negation, then it means your prayer is invalid unless you recite al-Fatiha. But if it means perfection generally, then it just means that if you don't recite the Fatiha, your prayer may be deficient to a degree, but it's still valid. So in those types of narrations, the scholars explain them like that, upon firstly accepting authenticity of them. If that be the case, then they'll say the meaning is not referring to the source of the issue, i.e., it does not mean that there are superstitions and bad luck to be had from a woman. It just means the generalized meaning from the horse or the woman or the house or whatever it may be. The generalized meaning that there may be sometimes something untoward that occurs from them. Something untoward, something bad may emanate or originate from them, as a general connection to the meaning of superstition, but not the source of the meaning of superstition or bad luck, as in tatayyur, that there is bad luck, the woman or the horse moves this way or that way, bad luck, suspicion, go back, don't do anything. It would not mean it upon the source of the meaning. It would be upon the generalized understanding of it, not superstition and bad luck in of itself. That is how they would explain it. So that wouldn't be a contradiction, and it wouldn't mean that there is superstition in the source and the key of superstition in certain things. That's very similar as well to the narration about envy. There is no envy except for the man who has wealth, you can envy him. And the man who has knowledge, you can envy him. But what does it mean? Because what does envy mean? What's the meaning of the word envy? Allah tells us in the Quran, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِلَى حَسَدٍ. Seek refuge from the one who envies. Yet the narration says, no envy except you can't envy somebody with money and with knowledge. What does it mean then? Clearly cannot mean that you can envy somebody, because envy means that you desire their blessings to be taken away from them. That is envy. You desire their blessings to be taken away from them. And that's how the evil eye occurs, that you see something from somebody that is beloved to you, you don't have it, so you desire that it's taken away from them, and as a consequence, something exits from you. An entity that we do not know of what it is, something exits from you, and that afflicts that person, and that is what becomes the evil eye. So envy is something terrible. How can the narration say, therefore, what does it mean, therefore, that there's no envy? But it can be for somebody with wealth and somebody with knowledge. You can envy them. How come? It doesn't mean envy in terms of the source of the meaning, that you desire their knowledge to be stripped of them because you haven't got it, or you desire their knowledge to be stripped from them because, or their wealth to be stripped from them because you don't have it. Doesn't mean that. It means envy in the loose general sense, that you wish you had money like him so that you could spend it in the way of Allah as he does. Just like the Sahaba used to, when they came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining, the poor Sahaba, the ones who were in poverty, they came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining. They said, Ya Rasulullah, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, the rich ones are taking all of the reward. The rich ones are taking all of the reward. يُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّ وَيَصُومُونَ كَمَا نَصُومُ لَكِنْ يَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفُضُولِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. That those rich ones are taking all of the reward, O Messenger of Allah. They pray like we can pray. They fast like we can fast. But then on top of all of those worships, they give in charity with their money, which we can't do. So then they go higher than us. We pray, they can pray, we're equal. We fast, they fast, we're equal with our worship. But then they can give in charity with money, they get that extra worship and reward which we can't do. So they're getting all the extra rewards. They were complaining about not having the money, not because of poverty or anything like that, but because of their desire that if they had it, they could spend in the path of Allah and also get the reward. So the Prophet ﷺ told them what? He said to them, there are many other ways you can get the reward equivalent to that giving in charity. And he told them about the adhkar. Do the adhkar, the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr, and that will give you the reward equivalent of them giving in charity. So they began doing that. When they began doing that, what happened? The rich people heard about this narration. And so they began doing the adhkar. So then the poor ones came back to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, they pray like we pray, they fast like we fast, they give in charity, we do adhkar, we're all level now. But then they do adhkar on top as well, so they gone ahead again. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the virtue of Allah that He bestows upon whom He wills. That is the virtue of Allah He bestows upon whom He wills. The point being that envy here isn't the envy of a person's wealth that you desire it to be destroyed, but the loose meaning of envy that you wish you had the money so you could spend it in the path of Allah, and you wish you had that knowledge so that you could worship Allah in that obedience and that level as that man of knowledge does. So that is the general meaning of those types.
You were going to say also? The drawing of the lots, there are several narrations about it. One is what, sorry? Yeah, there are several narrations about drawing lots. One is about, we can remember some of them to begin with.
Which wife you would take on the challenge?
All right. Anything else? The famous one regarding the prayer for the first row. If they knew of the virtue of the first row, they would draw lots to get a place on the first row. There are narrations like that, but I don't recall the details of how the drawing of the lots occurs. But because the narrations exist, it's a simple case of returning back to the explanations of those narrations, which always makes it very simple in the Q&A session, because what we always then say is, it's everybody's homework to go and investigate and try and check up the drawing of lots. In the narrations where it talks about drawing lots, is there explanation of how exactly the drawing of the lots occurred? And we'll bring the answer tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, regarding the drawing of the lots, regarding whether it actually occurred or whether it was an example being given, and the issue of chance. Because the issue of chance, it's not something absolute either. If nothing is intended behind it, then it's not impermissible. Like a Shaykh Al-Fawzani said, when you're walking down the street, you bump into someone and you say afterwards, today you know I was going down there and I bumped into Muhammad by chance. Permissible to say that or not? I happened to be walking down the street today and I bumped into Muhammad just by chance. Bumped into him by coincidence, just by chance. Is it permissible to say that or not? Technically, according to the laws of the religion and the decree and your belief in the decree, the ruling, the base ruling is that it's impermissible. However, as Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, in circumstances where you absolutely do not mean anything to do with the decree and it is simply a figure of speech, that all you mean is coincidence. That I didn't expect that. All you mean is that I bumped into him by chance, i.e. I was walking down the street and I saw Muhammad even though I wasn't expecting that. That is what you mean by your comment, I bumped into him by chance, i.e. I just saw him and I wasn't expecting to have seen him. If that is your intent, then the comment isn't shirk and the statement isn't impermissible per se. Nevertheless, overall, you wouldn't use those types of statements. Some of the people of knowledge even used to say that I dislike a Muslim should ever say, you know what, brother, bring me that book tomorrow. I really need the book. I gotta do my research. I'm depending on you. Bring me that book tomorrow, akhi, please. I'm depending on you. I'm relying on you. I need the book. You're the only guy with it. That phrase, I'm depending on you, akhi. I'm relying on you. You're the guy. I've got to get it off you. That phrase, I'm depending on you. I'm relying on you. Permissible or not to say it like that? Generally in the language, permissible. But again, it's something you should avoid because of the potential of the negative connotations of it, the incorrect meaning that may be understood from it. that I'm putting my trust in you. So these types of things, maybe the wordings of them should be avoided. But the Lot's thing, we'll try and look into it and see what we can find by tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Anything else, or we conclude upon that? Khalas, so we'll conclude upon that for tonight. Resume tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.